I'd like to call to attention the Tuesday, February 19th, 2019 regular board meeting. May I have the roll, please?
Mr. Berga?
Present.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Here.
Mr. Whitman? Mr. Begany?
Here. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 1.04, be it resolved to appoint Patricia Heater as Treasurer Pro Tempore during the duration of the February 19th, 2019 Board of Education meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Berga. Any discussion? Tammy's sick. That's all. All right. If there's no other discussion, I can't call you anything just yet, so just go ahead and call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Berga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman? Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Congratulations, Treasurer Pro Tempore. All right, moving on to item 2.01, approval of this evening's agenda, the January 15th, 2019 organizational meeting. Mr. Superintendent, do we have any changes?
Yes, some very slight changes. We added the resolution which you just passed and some very minor adjustments to a couple of contracts.
All right. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Quisenberry. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion?
I assume we're going to go back to 2.01 and 2.02?
2.01, I thought that's where we're at right now.
Aren't we approving the agenda?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the organizational. The agenda's item 3.01.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were...
Oh, I just asked ahead of time. That's all.
Okay,
I was thinking ahead. Okay. Seeing no other discussion, Madam Treasurer Pro Tempore, go ahead.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Berga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman? Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Now we're on to approval of item 2.02, the approval of the January 15th regular board meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Quisenberry. Any discussion? The union cannot fall. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please go ahead and call the roll.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Berga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. All right. Now we're on to the actual agenda. Are there any other changes, Mr. Superintendent?
There are no other changes.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Quisenberry. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Second by Mr. Berga. Any other discussion? All right. Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Berga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion is passed. Item 4.01, the board will be moving into executive session. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Berga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman by a split second. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Berga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. We will adjourn to executive session, and we should be back as quick as we can.
Dunlap?
Here.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Here.
Mr. Whitman?
Here.
Mr. Begany?
Here. Let the record state that we have returned from executive session at 7:32 p.m. Moving on to item 5.01, the STEM Excellent Award for Herbert Mills Elementary School. Mr. Superintendent?
Thank you. The Future of Education Technology Conference recognizes schools all across the country each year for excellence in STEM integration, innovation in the field of STEM education, primary, middle, and high school levels, and winners at each of those levels are selected. We're extremely excited. We have been excited to announce and now re-announce that Herbert Mills STEM Elementary School was named as the elementary school to receive the STEM Excellence Award. And I'll add, the only one in the United States. So we want to recognize them tonight. I know there's some folks out there, so come on down.
Don't everybody come at once. It's okay.
Spread it out and then I'll take a picture with you guys.
Thank you.
We'll go off to the side.
Ah, sweet.
Now, you guys are going to get a banner from them as well? Or did you already get, we got a plaque. I know that.
No, we just got a plaque
for them. But outstanding achievement. The only school
graduation. Congratulations.
Very nice.
Some pretty nice weather in Orlando, Florida. It was okay, just iffy.
I'm sure nothing like the joy that is living in Ohio in January and February. All right, with that, congratulations. And now we are going to move on to item 5.02 and the recognition of Doug Bickert and, well, let's be honest, R2-D2. So we have a couple of pictures up above at some point, I believe. I don't know if they're being shown. I met Doug. Actually, I didn't meet Doug. I was told about Doug. I'm a big Star Wars fan in general, and somebody basically came up and told me through the band program that said, hey, if you really like Star Wars, you got to go check out this guy's house. And I'm like, I'm not really going to walk over to somebody's house and say, hey, I hear you have Star Wars stuff. But needless to say, I was able to meet him, and then I got to see the very beginnings of what turned out to be an incredibly passionate project, which is the development of the droid that you see in the pictures above. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because I want Doug to kind of say, because there's more to it than just a droid itself. So if I could have Doug come on down here just a little bit and share with everybody kind of the process with it. And the administrators who have not had R2-D2 visit your school, he'll be taking sign-in sheets a little bit later, I'm sure. Yep, in front of the microphone. Yeah.
Okay. What would you like me to
say? Just talk about why. Why did you build it, and now what are you doing with it that makes it so important to the kids that you see?
Got it. Okay. Well, about back in 2012, I started a journey to kind of research how to build something that I thought would honestly look really great in my basement. I mean, that was the start of it. And as I got involved in a worldwide builders group that I'm in, we discovered that there's a lot you can actually do with something like this beyond just sit and look at it. So I decided that about midway through the project, as I was gathering parts and doing all my research and everything, that it was something that absolutely could not stay at my house. It had to get out and about, and it had to do things. And I'm a member of what they call the Astromech Builders Group, which is a worldwide organization of R2 builders. And our club right now actually builds droids for the for Disney and the movies. Actually, our builders did the Force Awakens droids and things like that. And I am fortunate enough to be able to create one that is screen accurate and it's registered with Lucasfilms and take him to various places and including hospitals and schools and such to kind of spread some joy and some happiness around. But as I was doing it, what I found was when I went to schools, you know, the idea was, oh, we'll take this droid into schools and talk about STEM. Congratulations on the school. It's fantastic. It occurred to me that there's actually a deeper story to this, because no matter what school I go to, there's one child at least that asks the why behind the droid. I mean, I get lots of questions about, you know, what's the, you know, how much does it cost and will you build me one? No, can't do that. But there's always one child that asks, you know, why do you do this? Why did you build this thing? I mean, what is it? It's really cool, but why? And I started to dwell on that a little bit and think about it. And when I was a kid, I was bullied when I was a child, because my father was the principal of my high school. And this is back in the 70s and 80s, you know. And we didn't have bullying policy back then in schools. So when I was in the second grade, I had this dream that, I'd had an R2-D2 that followed me to school, and I was extremely popular, because of this droid. And I never forgot that. But then I realized as I got older, and I'd gone to school, had some success, been able to do this, I built this droid and took it out. And it was really about me kind of sharing that dream of inclusion and that dream of I can accomplish something with everybody else. So the answer to the children that asked me, why did you build it? I said, really, for you. I mean, because I want you to see that you can realize a dream with zero knowledge prior of going into it. As I have a degree in business, I'm not a computer programmer or anything like that. That was it. So I basically take the droid around and use them to show inspiration and try to drag that piece of that child out of the corner that's kind of hiding and just bring it out there and say, like, you can do this, with it. So now I visit more for myself, I think, than anything else, because I just really enjoy, what happens during these presentations with these children. And so I'm fortunate that my passion is recognized in other groups as well. And I actually am going to Chicago in April, where I'm speaking at the Star Wars Celebration, which is the worldwide gathering. They move it from Anaheim to Orlando to Paris, and this year it's in Chicago, and I get to go and be a panelist, actually, with three of the top droid builders in the world.
Wow.
That are there, so we're going to talk about that up there. And actually, part of my presentation there is on philanthropic endeavors with your droid that I'm doing. So that's what I do, and it all started here in Reynoldsburg in my basement when I just got this idea that, I'm just going to realize this thing. I've sat on it long enough, and I talked to the children about how you research it and you go and do your research first, and then once you commit, don't stop until you're done with it. But when I do my presentations, I like to get all the little I usually contact the schools and get their mascot and the STEM program or their design process that they're using, and then I customize it for every school that I go to. So I think I've been just about everywhere in Reynoldsburg, but I've been popping over to Canal, and I've popped over to Pickerington stuff like that. But I'm having a great time, and I really appreciate being recognized for it. It's not necessary at all, but I do appreciate it very much, and I look forward to doing this for many years to come. So that's how we do it.
Thank you very much, Doug.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's one quick story that Doug shared with me at one time as he's continuously trying to get me to come over and help build with him. He told me a story about when he visited one of the children's hospitals. And you could tell how deeply it moved him because he had the droid in, and these are kids that are going through things that no one should ever have to go through. And usually everybody gets the pictures with the kids, but the one thing that kind of struck him is he was asked by one of the patients to get a picture of him, of Doug. And just because of the fact that it was kind of a connection with, the maker and somebody fixing things and doing things and all of that. And I could tell that Doug that hit home with him just because of, the reason why these things, why he does this was kind of summed up in that moment. And combined with the anti-bullying message and the fact that it is a ridiculously cool droid to look at and everything that does, it deserved the recognition because, if you can take a look at the pictures of everybody in there, and those aren't the adults that are probably also just as bad with their smiles. So I really appreciate it. I'm glad to recognize you tonight for what you do for our community, even Pickerington. Thank you very much. I'm sure the droid will probably be popping up sometime in the community in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much. Kind of coming off of that is items from the board, item 6.01. We'll start off with Ms. Quesenberry this evening.
Thank you. Well, it's been a little bit of a busy month. Mrs. Dunlap, I'm used to calling you Debbie. Mrs. Dunlap and I went to some training, got a lot learned a lot at the OSBA training that we went to. The one thing that I really learned, though, was in the transportation area, because that's not an area that I have typically dealt with and having to learn about. So it was very interesting. And one bus, every bus replaces 35 cars. That was kind of impressive. So for every bus that we have, we're saving our environment from 35 cars. So that was really cool. I did a lot of school visits, and I want to thank the principals for welcoming me into your buildings. I think I only have maybe three to visit to finish up the year. So it's been a great visit, seeing so many great things happening, a lot of rigor in lessons, engagements of the students. It was great going around and really seeing what was happening in the building. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ms. Quisenberry. Mr. Whitman?
Well, I'd like to say congratulations to the robotics team 4085 last night. Last night they finished their robot and bagged it up, and now it's on to competition. So we wish them luck in those. Some school events coming up. I know that next week at Rose Hill they're having all week a Read Across America event, and I was invited, and I think I'm going to have to cancel, unfortunately. I wish I could go, though. It's fun. If any of you out there want to volunteer, call them up. They might, I went visited a few classrooms and read aloud some children's books, and it was a lot of fun. There are a couple other events coming up. There's the African American Heritage Festival. What is that? Someone?
Thursday. Next Thursday.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right. So hope to see some of you there. And that's about all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Whitman. Mrs. Dunlap.
Welcome again, everyone, tonight. I also attended leadership training with the Ohio School Boards Association with Board Member Quessenberry. And I actually wanted to say a thank you to the district and to Mr. Brown. While we were there, we met some people who were not supported by their district in their continuing education. Professional development is something that we demand of our staff, and it just makes sense that as board members, we are also continuously learning and bettering ourselves so that we can be better board members. So publicly, I want to say thank you to Mr. Brown and to the district for supporting that. Best of luck, to the robotics team. I got a chance to go over, and I think a day before, or hours before, they bagged up the robot, so it was very cool to see everything going on. I'm always amazed that these are but when you see the operation, I said it was like a symphony of all these different teams coming together to not only build the robot, to build everything that the robot has to go through so it can practice. And the marketing team, something that I appreciate, and I walked away, I got a really cool button. It's just amazing that all this comes together. And then to go see the competition itself and the strategy. And something new I learned there, that even once you get to the competition itself, there is a lot of collaboration and cooperation with other teams. So they're constantly, I forget what is the term, you guys have kids on the team, you would know. There's a term for it that, it's you're competing, but then you're also cooperating. And there's a new word that they made up.
They've been using that word for several years. It's a mashup of co-opetition.
Yes, co-opetition. And I thought that was pretty neat because, if you're a pretty competitive person, it teaches you to be a little bit humble, and you will only get ahead in life if you are also cooperating, collaborating with others as well. So that was really neat. I may not have done something as cool as the Marshmallow Man, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but I am a cheerleader over at Rose Hill for the fourth grade team, and I've done some notes and candies and have some cookies and Rice Krispie treats and things to kind of, and words of cards of encouragement that I've handed to them, and some more things planned. I was blessed to be part of a panel locally of three elected women who spoke to a group of graduates and postgraduates at OSU. It's called Ignite. It's sort of like our ROCKS program, but at another, a higher level, inspiring and talking to young women who want to go into the political field, be an elected official. And they had a lot of great questions. It was really neat to hear their perspective and just to talk to them even afterwards for lunch and, you know, things that they're developing and working on and their perceptions of the world. So very, very refreshing. Sometimes, you know, speaking to people at that level and women at that level especially brings you a little bit back down to earth. Thank you to Mr. Brooks and his team. Jocelyn, I saw the 9X presentation, and I thought I knew everything about 9X, and I did not. I learned some things myself that day. And so it was really good for myself to hear that as a parent, but then also as a board member to hear some of the questions. It was a very, very good presentation, and I appreciated you having it at 8:30 a.m. because I thought it was 8:30 p.m., and I almost didn't show up. I enjoyed our tour. We all got to get a tour of the new community center, which was pretty amazing. You had to do a lot of imagining because there aren't many guts in it yet. But we put our hard hats on, and that's going to be an incredible addition to our city, a real jewel in our crown. Congratulations also to the staff of Herbert Mills. What a great honor. Kind of following you along on social media, and I was so happy when you did get the award. So, I mean, to be the only one in the nation recognized for that, congratulations. That's pretty darn awesome. I want to say congratulations to Doug. It's great to recognize you. I've met R2D2 when you've been out at some different events, but I was over at Hannah Ashton when I actually somebody asked, why did you build it? And I tell you what, it took on a whole new meaning for me. And I'm sure it reaches out to a lot of other kids when you do tell that story. So I'm glad I got to hear that. Hopefully the bad weather is behind us. I don't want another snow day. Done. I'm done. Okay, and thank you. That's it.
Mr. Barga.
Good evening. Debbie took most of my YMCA discussion, but it was a very impressive tour for the four of us that managed to get there on time. The overall feeling was actually pretty cool. The way that they've changed some of the designs and being able to see how they've done some of the changes and what they discussed with the stairwells and their discovery with the cardiovascular and the track system was kind of interesting. I will be participating in the Read Across America next week. I can't remember which day, but I have a couple books picked out that I'm hoping the... Well, I don't know which day
Rose
I picked.
Rose Hills is Friday.
Ms. Spears gave me a large selection.
Yeah,
so
she gave us a number of days.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh, I apologize. All right. Okay, because yeah. I'm on Friday.
Yeah, no, if you reach out, she's still looking for time. And there's a large selection. Beyond that, I have nothing really to update.
Thank you. Just a couple of quick things. It's that time of the year for all of our winter sports. We've got boys and girls basketball getting ready to start tournament play. Looking forward to seeing their continued success. I know the Reynoldsburg Raider bowling teams will be at sectionals this Friday and Saturday, depending on the boys team or the girls team. So I'm looking forward to seeing them there. I coach my school's bowling team, so I always go walk over and see how the Raiders are doing just to keep an eye on them. And we're mostly okay and not competitive between each other. We have some great announcements. We've got some swimmers that are moving on as well to I'm always going to screw this up. Is it states? Yeah, states. Moving on to states. We have two of our swimmers are going on to states, which is a huge accomplishment. And I had the opportunity for sectionals to be a chaperone on a bus taking the swim team down to the competition. And it was interesting because I think sometimes we kind of take for granted some of the other people that work in our district. And I tend to be a little chatty. And so I sat and I talked with the bus driver who was taking us down. And I don't have her name with me, but I'm sure we can find out. And we talked about a whole bunch of different things. We talked about safety. We talked about how many times that she's, you know, made friends with kids. She told me of one story of a student who was just not being his best behaved person on the bus. And so he got moved up to the front seat. And while he was there, the bus driver got to talk to him and talk to him about his grades. And he was a good student. And he would actually talk about how well he was doing in class. And then when the time came that he was able to go back and sit in the cool part of the bus in the back, and he stayed. And he stayed talking to her about his grades and about what was going on in his life and things like that. And it was really cool to see something that is, you know, some of our other staff members kind of get that connection with our students. So we don't know really how important we all can be in the lives of some of our students. And I just appreciated that. It was nice to hear. It was refreshing. As far as a couple of other quick updates, yes, I'm going to be speaking, reading at Rose Hill. I don't know what book yet. I think I'm going to just let that one surprise. This weekend, Ms. Dunlap and I did attend the Franklin County Board Members Alliance Organization, which is made up of different board members from the Franklin County districts. And we talked about a number of things about kind of like a legislative agenda. If you recall, we actually were able to offer testimony at Ohio Department of Education when it came to our graduation standards. And now we are turning on our kind of attention to some other things, including a potential new funding formula that's being discussed right now at the State House with a couple of different representatives, that if it were to work out the way that we're hearing, it may remove the cap on funding. If you want to know a little bit more about the cap on funding, one of our colleagues, Gary Baker, the current president of Columbus City Schools, had a very good article in the newspaper talking about how much the state takes away from certain districts. As much as I'm saddened that we lose $3.5-4 million a year, Columbus City Schools loses $95 million a year. And that's money that is supposed to be going to the school based on their own formula, much like our students are supposed to be getting that extra $3.5 to $4 million. So we'll be talking about that, as well as the hopefully an updated grade card, school district report card, so that way we can actually start comparing apples to apples instead of apples to oranges, in addition to our quality profile, which pretty much every district is moving towards at this point because the report cards only give a glimmer of what's actually, you know, going on in our districts. And then, of course, testing. Testing is the reality of the situation. We are one of only 13 states, I believe, that still has mandatory testing. So obviously we are in the minority, and we're going to hope to continue to find ways to make sure our students are getting the education they need, but we're not going to do it at a point where we're wasting valuable teaching time with assessments. And I'll stop there before I go too far on that one. I'm happy. Can't wait to see everybody at the different functions that are out there. And with that, we will move to our committee reports. We're going to start off with calendar committee.
Question.
Mr.
President, you last time you talked about legislative updates, and you said stay tuned when we know who's on the members of the relevant committees.
Yes.
Do you have some information
there? That was actually just announced within the last week and a half. And we have a couple of local people. State Representative Fred Strayhorn and State Representative Erica Crawley are on the Education Committee that are local to us, as well as John Patterson, who's the representative from the Canton area, who's actually kind of working across the aisle with Representative Cupp to come up with a new funding plan. So this is a bipartisan thing. So this isn't something that is just like a wish on all of our parts. But I do have that list, and it is going to be broadcast and put out, so when the time comes, the budgets are coming out, we can all remind our state representatives how important public education is.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else? Okay. Committee reports. Who is going to be taking the lead on calendar committee?
Do we want to do that report now, or do we want to wait till we have the discussion later?
Do you want to wait? Okay, we can wait and do the discussion. Outcomes committee?
I don't know that we have the minutes there. I know that's up for us to. We approved it. So as
I was just wondering if the, I thought there were going to be like attached to the end of the.
Okay.
Oh, they're not there yet. Oh. Okay.
So I have. I do have my stuff.
Your notes, then. Yeah.
Okay. So we did meet for the outcomes committee. A lot of conversations that we talked about the different updates that we would be having. Let's see. There's going to be some the current needs that we have. Dr. Cosgrave, are we going over any of this tonight? No. Okay. Just wanted to double check so we weren't. So we talked a lot about the different needs currently that we have, the current schedules, and then I'm not going to go over this whole entire packet, but. Then we talked a lot about the 9X schedule. And one of the big pieces of conversation that we had was over the special ed piece. We discussed what it might look like. Let me get to my notes here. We talked about, well, the ninth grade students get time with their same age peers. What would lunch look like? Is special ed typically or totally self-contained in high school? Will parents be able to make those decisions? So we had a lot of those kind of conversations. A lot of this, what we found, really is up to the individual child. We did talk about certain definitions, what our peers in Reynoldsburg, which is we look at them as grade level peers because oftentimes we interpret laws through the state, not just us, I should just say we do, districts do. So what one district does in one area might be different than the neighboring district. So we did talk about what maybe the definition of peers were. Reynoldsburg looks at that as being grade level peers. We talked about the fact that we can't really put together what a schedule might look like because it might be different between students. So that was a big piece that parents had asked about. But we can't give a typical day for a special ed student because we also can't give what a typical day for a regular ed student might look like at this point. So those that information would be coming. We talked about proposed changes to bus routes. We talked about...
I'll add to that a little bit.
Yes,
the proposed changes in bus routes. So before, not a lot of students could walk along Taylor Road because parts of it did not have a sidewalk, and so the absence of a sidewalk meant a lot of people around there had to be bused. But now there are sidewalks, and that's and now we've sort of caught up to that. And with that, a lot more students are going to be able to walk to Taylor Road Elementary. Is that correct? Or?
Well, we're actually going to walk that ourselves first.
Oh, okay. So this may be a possibility, but yeah, it's within a 1 mile walk or.
Currently, state law mandates that outside of 2 miles, students walk. However, here, our decision as a district is students outside of 1 mile actually walk. So many of our kids that typically would not, that typically would have to walk to school don't. We bus them. And so the proposed situation would bring everybody to the standard of walking within 1 mile. Right now, that is not the case across the board. But as I mentioned earlier a few moments ago, we want to walk that route first ourselves to get a feel for what that should look like.
Okay, great. So the busing, I want to say about the special education because there was quite a bit of concern about that on social media, and I think once we got to the meeting, we resolved it pretty well, basically mm-hmm. saying that the definition of peer, well, it's kind of vague, so there are different definitions for it, but it's up to the parents and their child's IEP team to decide on what the most appropriate definition of peer is for them and then decide what, when and how much inclusion needs to happen within that definition of peer and, and then we'll work it out. One thing we did learn, though, is that perhaps that we should be more proactive in reaching out to parents and reminding them, hey, please contact us, meet with us. You need to advocate for your child and make sure that that we can work with you and get them what they need. You have a
just to be specific, the parents who are directly impacted by that have all had individual communications with Sean Stroll, our director of student services, and they're working through that process.
That's true. They did. Yeah, all the parents who were directly affected this year, they have met. They're working with us, but they just emphasized, hey, not every parent might be as on top of things as they were, mm-hmm. and so it'd be good for just to be a more systemic thing about, just constantly emphasizing to parents that they need to.
I think one of the important things to stress is we talked earlier about a typical schedule. Well, there really is no typical schedule because every student is unique in regard to their IEP, and that's what we actually schedule for. So that's why there's no such thing as a unique schedule for a student with special needs.
Okay. And also segueing from that into schedules in general, so I was really excited to hear Dr. Cosgrave's presentation of the new high school schedule. So for years, ESTM has been the odd one out in having block scheduling, which, it has its benefits, but on the other hand, it also makes it really difficult to, for students to take classes across academies. It also makes it so that if they miss one day, it's like they're missing a lot more per day. Yeah, it's like, and so what's going to happen now is that all four academies are going to have a block schedule. Yeah. No, okay. It's no, here's...
let's not get that on the record.
Please address all questions on social media to Neil Whitman on that one.
All right. They're all going to be block schedules, but what it's going to be is on Monday and Wednesday every week, it'll be, you know, one set of classes at the blocks. On Tuesdays and Thursdays every week, it'll be other classes during the blocks. And on Fridays, it flip-flops. So, you know, the one set of classes meets 3 days a week, 1 week, and then 2 days a week the next week. Then there are also, you know, single-blocked areas for various other things and spots for enrichment and intervention. And they had, like, several pages of possible schedules that, you know, somebody might have just to kind of give an idea of the range of things that were possible. So I'm really excited about this schedule, and if... Mr. Superintendent, Board Member Quesenberry, or Dr. Cosgrave, if there's some stuff I've distorted or good stuff I've overlooked, I welcome additions.
With the schedule, I just want to stress we're looking at implementing a hybrid block schedule so that we have some uniformity across the high school, so all kids have the same types of opportunities, while at the same time paying deference to some of the things we already have in place. So you might be in a situation where you have a block class. One of your classes might be a semester class, but you could also have classes that are year-long classes, just depending on how the schedule works out. So we're looking at a hybrid in that regard.
Great. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Jenny, other things?
You know, we have this whole big packet, and I don't know that y'all want me to go through this whole packet, so I'm sure we'll hit things. And this was all at one meeting, so I think we've touched on the big pieces.
Okay. President Begney, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Because I know this was when I first started hearing and reading a little bit about the routes. I had some concerns. I appreciate the fact that you are going to walk the route at Taylor Road. But because I had a discussion with Mr. Brown that, you know, I don't think every mile is the same. It just may be, you know, by law, we are required to bus students to school over 2 miles. Traditionally, we have done 1 mile, but then that isn't the same. And I learned that just recently. I did not know that at all the different schools. But will you be walking any of the other routes in particular? You know, I was concerned about Slate Ridge and some of the students up at, I think it's Shepherd Park. Just some concerns about students walking down that, particularly when there's snow and that crazy light and so on and so forth.
Yeah, any of the proposed changes, we're going to walk those.
Okay. Will we hear back anything before?
Well, of course you will.
Okay.
That's why we're not looking at that to add for action as of yet.
Okay, great. Thank you. I didn't know if that was an actionable item, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. Okay. It is.
Okay. Everything. Thank you. I appreciate the fact that you're going to do that.
Sure.
Thank you.
We'll try to pick a warm day.
No, you need to do it when there's a lot of snow that they have.
Tomorrow morning,
out.
For instance.
Tomorrow will be a great time, right?
I actually have a question as well. With the block schedule specifically, I love that dynamic. That's how I had high school with the alternating longer blocks and how they do it. The one question I have is, what are the plans with the Friday alternation when you have snow days that hit non-consecutively? So we would have, for example, we would have like a snow day on a Tuesday and a Thursday of 1 week. Wednesday we'd have school. So we'd miss that entire mm-hmm. class mm-hmm. for that week, and quite often they would try and have that Friday then become mm-hmm. – you know, the alternate day. Do we have a system for that yet, or is that being worked out?
That'll be worked on. I'm sure that's something we have to put in consideration once we have an actual schedule put together.
Perfect. Okay. I look forward
to it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other comments from the Outcomes Committee? Seeing none. Policy Committee, we'll go into more detail when we start to approve them, but a number of items came up, including topics on English language learners, inter-district open enrollment students, and some slight changes to our non-discrimination policy, but we'll go into that during the discussion session of that item. Item 7.0 is items from the superintendent. Mr. Superintendent?
I actually have a list tonight, so I might be here a while. January, February have both been very interesting months. We've done a lot of prepping and reacting to weather forecasts. I'll be up at about 4 o'clock again tomorrow morning doing the same. Having 3 consecutive days a few weeks back, being closed due to weather is not something I've experienced in Ohio as of yet. It was common practice in Virginia, so that was not new for me there. One other thing, so we'll be looking at the weather tonight. Kids on Twitter, leave me alone. One thing we worked on in the past month or so was we solidified a partnership with Franklin County Job and Family Services to make available to our community two community social workers who will be able to work with our families in terms of accessing resources for their families. This is not a school school district function, but this is for a resource for our families that will be located at the Welcome Center so we can help our families access things that they're in need of. So that's a service that they're going to help us provide. We had a visit from State Senator Tina Maharath at HAMS earlier in January, and sounds like she'll be quite an ally and advocate for education in Reynoldsburg, so we had a really good visit in that regard. You guys talked about the 9X Impact meeting. We also had one the night before that morning meeting at Livingston as well, which was really well attended. I was glad for some of the questions, really, really insightful questions, making us really think about some things perhaps we hadn't thought about. So those engagements are ongoing, and I was really, really pleased with the response. I did have the pleasure of dressing as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man at Rose Hill a few days ago. All those pictures are on social media if you want to see where I made a fool of myself. And let's see, one other thing I wanted to make note of, I'd be completely remiss if I didn't acknowledge Black History Month and the contributions of African Americans throughout history who have played a crucial role in the development and prosperity of our country and of the world. There are a lot of historical figures and ideas and events that are on my Twitter account, and my Facebook page. I want to get your attention toward if you've not seen those. Try to keep that up every day. In addition, I'll be speaking at the Fairfield Career Center tomorrow with a group of kids in reference to some of my experiences and on reflections on Black History Month, and I'll also be speaking at the United Faith Community Church on Sunday in that regard. So really excited about sharing some experiences and some ideas and some context so we have an understanding of what that truly stands for. So that's all I have.
Item 8.01, recognition of visitors. We did not have any prearranged, but do we have anyone here that's looking to speak? Okay. Come on down and tell us a little bit about your program.
Hi, I'm Joe Andonaro. I'm the advisor for the Youth in Government Club. We deal with high school students from, I think, 3 of the 4 academies, or maybe all 4 at this point. But we just kind of wanted to come down, me and Sean Murray, who's the president. I'll let him speak in a minute. But if you have any experiences, I know Mrs. Dunlop came out to our conference last year and maybe a couple other of the board members. But it's a wonderful program. We get stressed so much as educators about college and career readiness, 21st century thinking skills, and it is all of those things, creativity, collaboration. Sean and the other students in the club, we have about 15 do all of those things throughout, you know, they're planning meetings, they're being creative with their own bills, they're taking these ideas to the state conference and interacting with their peers across the state. So it's just a wonderful program, and we wanted to come today. I'll let Sean tell more about the student side of it, but just wanted to extend an invitation to you guys anytime you want to come. We meet on Tuesdays typically, and then our end of the year conference where the students will really be doing their thing at the Ohio Senate will be April 11th through 13th. So without further ado, I'll give you guys the hardest working man in youth and government, Sean Murray.
Thank you. For votes that don't know, I'm Sean Murray. I'm a junior at Bell Academy. In addition to being the president of our local delegation, I'm one of 2 speakers of the House at our April conference. For those of you that don't know, Youth in Government's a program run by the YMCA, directed by Reynoldsburg's own Charlie Myers. And it's basically a simulation of state government and teaches middle school and high schoolers how youth and government works. Personally, I've gained a lot from youth and government. I've gotten more involved in politics. I've started attending meetings. I've been able to meet with state legislators. And it's definitely something that I would recommend everyone do. And I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
What are some of the bills that you guys are working on now?
We have about 5 bills that we have this year. We have one that's banning solitary confinement. We have one that is that gives 2.5 million in scholarships. We have one dealing with abuse in nursing homes. And we have another one that would make it where you don't have to pay both the Reynoldsburg and Columbus city taxes.
Okay.
I'd also like to mention that our youth governor, Parker Gutman, sorry he couldn't make it tonight. He had work obligations.
I know I saw something online, and obviously it cost some money to be able to participate, correct? And I did see, I don't know if now is the time or the place to mention as well, that there are some fundraising efforts going on in order to help you all go and participate in the Senate.
Correct. We plan on reaching out to local restaurants like Vic's and possibly doing nights where a portion of the funds will go to our youth and government so that we can go to conference.
I've talked with Parker Gutman a number of times about the opportunity, and I've seen even students in my own building that have had the opportunity to go. It's an amazing experience, and it does give a lot of that hands-on experience and actual, I guess you say, the ability to talk to people who are making these decisions. So well done. Thank you for participating in this program. That's great. It's not for everybody.
You said that you meet on Tuesdays, and where do you meet when you meet on Tuesdays? Where are you at?
We meet in our advisors' classroom at our Bell Academy.
Yeah, when I came down to visit, I have to say, and I've gone twice, and everyone looks the part. They've got their suits, their ties, looks very professional. And then when you guys present your bills, I'm just blown away at how articulate and how mature everyone is. You almost forget that you're all students standing there. And kudos. It's an amazing experience.
And if anyone would like to stop by at one of our meetings, you can contact me at sean.murray@reyn.org.
Thank you very much. I look
Thank
forward
you,
to
Sean.
Take you up
Thank
on
you.
That.
Thank you. Keep those legislators on their toes. All
right. Seeing no other recognition of visitors, we'll move on to item 9.01, 02, 03, and 04 are on for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barga. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Quisenberry. Any discussion? Or Madam Treasurer, would you like to give us a rundown of anything from these items?
Yes, we have the January 31st financial statements. We also have 2 appropriation modifications. One is for the STEM Middle at Baldwin, their school store, their PBIS school store, and an update for our I-3 grant through Columbus State. Then we have on for transfers, the transfer from the general fund to the athletic fund for their pay-to-participate fees. And then we have 2 donations, one for the student council activities at Wagner Road Junior High from the Wagner Road Junior High PTO, and then dictionaries, 125 to Rose Hill Elementary from Jerry Garver at the YMCA.
Any questions?
I do have a question or more. It might be something you want to jot down for Ms. Miller to look at. A 9.02 with the Baldwin Road change, that's a little over a doubling of the budget. Do you know why that occurred and how we can kind of make sure we account for that properly in the first place?
I will go back and look at that and get that for you. Yes.
Perfect. Problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 10.01, 02, 03 are up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion?
As one season starts to draw to a close, we're not quite there yet, but we go into our spring sports. Our coaches are ready to go.
All right. Looking forward to a great season and warm weather. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 11.01, Student Services, Sunbelt Staffing Agreement. Mr. Superintendent, do you want to give us a little detail on that?
Sure. This is to provide speech, language services, and school psych services for the rest of this school year.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Quisenberry. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Motion. Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Motion passed. Sorry, I was off the pace there.
Do you want to vote?
Yeah, it's okay. motion passed. Item 12.01 and 02 are on for action. These are things that we have presented to us previously, including Summit Road Elementary School travel, as well as a Chinese speaking competition. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barger. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. By a second. Any discussion? I assume we have all of our insurance and everything's
all good to go.
All I's dotted, T's crossed, and everyone's going to have a good time.
All that's good to go, and they take along my jealousy.
All right. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Moving on to items 13.01, 02, and 03 are on for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Dunlap. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Whitman. Discussion. I'll briefly start off with going through the policies. The first one is in addition to our Non-Discrimination Act, in addition to committed to ensuring the equal educational opportunity, employment, and access to its services, programs, and activities without regard to an individual's race, color, national origin, ancestry, citizenship status, religion, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, or military status. Hereafter called protected classes. We are making one slight change to add the superintendent's designee as someone who is able to make determinations on those factors.
Essentially, the way it's stated now, it states superintendent. We already actually appoint someone to do those things. We're just making sure the language is clean enough to be so it can't be misinterpreted.
Okay. Any discussion on item 13.01?
I do have a question. And obviously, this isn't in the policy part. It's up in the puffery, I suppose, in the intro to it. Is there a reason that we specifically list out sexual orientation? Because there are other orientations that aren't necessarily listed, and then including transgender, which would be gender identity and expression as a orientation, isn't necessarily up with the current parlance on that as its own classification under GID as opposed to an orientation. And then obviously we have the fun of the federal regulations that are never going to be set in stone, apparently.
Correct.
So is there any reason that we have that instead of just wanting to put sexual orientation in gender identity and expression?
We follow guidance of our policy provider and of our legal services.
Okay.
So that's why it's there.
Okay.
Any other questions on item 13.01? All right, moving on to 13.02, the admission of inter-district open enrollment students. A lot of this is cleaning up on the timeline due to the wonderful news of increased resident student enrollment. We're having to alter some of our dates and timelines to make sure that we service our resident students first, but then have those opportunities for open enrollment students to come in afterwards. That's basically, is there anything else that I missed on that?
That's about it. A little bit of a cleanup in language, mainly about moving dates and moving those timelines up sooner so we can notify folks and prepare much more readily.
Yeah. It helps for staffing, so that way we know exactly where everyone's going to be, so that way teachers aren't waiting until the second week of August to figure out how many teachers they're going to get. Any other discussion on item 13.02? All right, moving on to item 13.03. This is English language learning program, and this just puts us in line with kind of the odds timing sense as far as the aging out process. Prior to this, students that would reach the age of 22 during their technical senior year of high school would then at that point no longer be eligible for services. However, this just extends it for the remainder of that current year. So if you're a senior who's 22 years old and you're in April, you can still finish out the school year even though you reach the deadline. Any questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, all items are up for action. Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Berga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Item 13.04 is up for discussion. It is our 2020-21 school calendar, and I will defer this to those of you that are on the calendar committee.
So what we did is we have a fairly similar calendar to the one that we have already addressed for the 19-20 year. This will be for 2021. We did make a few small changes, and we have a couple things that we actually want to discuss that the committee kind of got into. So if you look, if you scroll down a little bit, Chris, to April. Thank you. If you look, we have spring break. We did move it. We have it from the 29th through the 5th. There's been some debate whether we need the Monday after Easter, which is what the 5th is, to actually be off and whether we should continue that off or not. There was discussion whether we want to keep it there and then start on the or if we want to get rid of it, move the 6th PD day up to the 5th and start that week there. That was kind of up in the air, and the discussion that we had was if we keep that, do we want to move it to a different point to break up the six weeks without a break that we have after spring break up until, I want to say, Memorial Day? So the end of the school year? Yeah. Other than that, most of what we have is fairly similar. We did make a few changes. Winter break, despite the feedback, there's not a whole lot we can do with it. The timing just with the grading period windows and when we want teachers to be able to get their tests done and expect them to get grades back is not really feasible with any other system to make everyone kind of end up with some amount of time and sanity in the end. Did I leave anything out?
So pretty much open to discussion amongst the boards. So there was no preference for that April 5th date? Or not enough that swayed one way or another?
My interpretation is the staff side seemed to think it wasn't really necessary to have the Monday off, and they would prefer the break day to be at some point during that 6 weeks. However, my understanding also is there apparently is a strong tradition in keeping the Monday after Easter off, which I'm unaware of, so that was news to me. But there wasn't really a strong preference. We got everything else into agreement, and we were just down to what do we want to do with that, and do we want to give people some time off? Personally, I think we give the time off both for students, staff, and our teachers. You know, we have 6 weeks there. We want to toss that day in somewhere else.
Would that impact state testing during any testing windows in April?
That particular date will not.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know that April 5th would, but if we are at Mr. Barga's suggestion, moving a different day off to break up that 6 weeks, where would that fall on the calendar line?
I can't recall when we talked about moving that, but
as long as, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Cosgrave, but as long as the date was already scheduled or an emergency off date, you're allowed to interrupt testing with that, but you cannot interrupt testing with a scheduled school date. Did I get that right? Wonderful.
Where are the youth and government people? They need to fix this.
Yes, there was a suggested move that had been part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So. I'm open to whatever the calendar committee recommends. If they feel that that's the will to move it, that's fine. If they prefer to keep it just the same, I'm trying to gaze out into the audience to see if anybody's giving me any reactions one way or another. So.
Well, obviously, this is for discussion. So yeah. If you're open to whatever seems to be the general, Neil and Debbie?
Well, I guess, you know, my big question is, how does it impact education? You know, that's what I want to know. People will have different, I mean, when we say tradition, I believe it's, you know, it was part of, you know, if I dare say, Catholic holiday, Easter Monday, and people use that and attached it to our spring break. Spring break does not fall on Easter every year, as is the case this year. Spring break has become something a little, you know, very different now, a time when, you know, people take trips and go away. And you could probably have 100 different reasons from all sorts of different parents and families about why they want it off or why they don't. What I'm concerned is what the educators want and what works best into their schedule. That's what that's the line I would follow.
Thank you.
I think the only other piece that was discussed was the fact that with Easter being on that 4th, that there could be people who travel. Mm-hmm. Out of town, being gone for Easter, and having that extra day of travel
and
getting back.
Keep in mind, with that specifically, no matter what happens, there will be no students in school on the 5th. The question becomes, is that a PD day for educators, or are we having students off for 2 days there? So actually they go from the 29th through the 26th would be the last day, and then the 7th would be the first day back for students. And under the current proposal, the only questions on that. So the yellow is staff, not students.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Would there be an impact in staff attendance if Monday was a professional development day?
I fully expect all of our staff to always be.
I was going to echo that.
I'm sure that all of them would be, but just on the off chance that that might not be the case. I'm not saying anything to the teachers at all. Just... So, I think this is a good discussion point. I think that as we kind of move forward, we can listen to what everybody has to say, and if there are objections or concerns, they can share. And this isn't written in stone, but it's good discussion to have.
Can I ask one other question? So, when you talk about, you know, you're hearing from the teachers, again, anyways, mm-hmm. How are you getting that feedback?
When I said hearing from the teachers, the members of the committee that represent the teachers that we have in there, as part of the stakeholders in it. No one else. It's not third-party communications with the teachers. It's just the people that represent.
Represent that are attending the meeting.
Yeah.
That was all within the committee meeting.
Okay.
All right, good discussion. Anything else?
Mr. Barger, you say no matter what, you know, either way, students will not be in school on April 5th. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that? Because I thought we were discussing whether that would be the case or not.
So if you look at the 5th and the 6th, so the 5th is red right now,
right.
Which means no school for anyone, period. The 6th is yellow, which is a PD day. So no school for students, development for teachers. So the discussion is, are we going to leave it the way it is there, or are we going to move the 5th to be the PD day? So move the 6th to the 5th and then have the students start on the 6th and move the 5th day somewhere else.
Ah, okay.
So either way, that Monday for the students at least is still off, which if it is a Catholic tradition, that's – we give it.
Right. And I'm not saying that's here or there now weighing in, but yeah. I'm saying if you were saying you were a little shocked
it was a tradition. Yeah.
And I think dating way back, you know, I think
Easter Monday's a thing? What? I thought it was Easter, you know.
But
that
again,
was literally
I think,
said verbatim a couple of times at the meeting.
Right. But I think, you know, gone are the days when spring break falls in conjunction with Easter anymore. So.
Yeah. So we'll take this back. If there's any other comments from anyone out here, send them to either Ms. Quesenberry or myself, and we can hopefully get them taken care of, and we'll. It looks like we'll talk to the teachers and see what they want us to do with that date and get it moved.
We'll schedule another calendar committee meeting.
Yes.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you very much. Moving on to item 14.01 and 02, items up for action. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barger. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Quisenberry. Mr. Reed, any comments on either of the two items?
14.01 is a two-year extension to take us to the max of 5 years with GCA. In the 3 years, or soon to be 3 years that they've been here, I've been very impressed with what they do. Even though they're not technically Reynoldsburg employees, I will say that the vast majority of them are Reynoldsburg residents with students in our schools. So they have a lot of pride in what they do. So I look forward to working with them for another 2 years, to which we will then have to go back to bid.
Okay.
In regards to 14.02, that is probably something that Superintendent Brown can speak on better than I can.
That's to provide substitute services to our classified staff, more specifically our paraprofessionals and secretaries.
Okay.
As you know, Wixie and Associates currently does our certified substitutes as well right now.
Any discussion on either of these items?
Mr. Reed, could you remind us what GCA Education Services does?
They are nighttime custodians, or what they would call the night porters.
The night what?
Porters.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Anything else? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion's passed. Item 15.01, the first one wasn't fun enough, so we're going to do it again. Executive session, items A2 and A7. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. We are now adjourning to executive session. We will return upon completion. Treasurer, would you please call the roll?
Present.
Here.
Here.
Here. We returned from executive session. Make the record show that we have returned at 9:33 p.m. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by everyone. Second by someone else. Moved by Mr. Barga. Second by Mr. Whitman. Any discussion?
That's right. I win.
Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Barga?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mrs. Quisenberry?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. Meeting is adjourned.